Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
You've been reading the Chicago Sun-Times lately. They've been doing a series of articles and posts, and they've been involved in a number of ways in something called the 31 Bullets. We talked the other day about that display that looked like a divvy rack over by the Daily Center. And instead of bicycles in the rack, they were all AR-15s. A bunch of assault rifles were there. It was a gun share program. They weren't really guns, but boy, it looked like it. And it sure did give you pause. That display was not in Chicago long enough. But the Sun-Times ain't done with it yet, because they're the ones that are working on this 31 Bullets campaign. Tom McNamee is the editorial page editor over there, and he's in our studio. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for inviting us on.
Why is it called 31 Bullets?
Well, that's a great question. The most obvious question we get all the time. There are, every year in this country, about 10 billion bullets are sold. Now, not all sold to bad guys and good. They're sold to the military. They're sold to police officers. They're sold to the old lady who's just trying to protect her home with a little handgun. And they're also sold to the bad guys, you know, the armed robbers and the thugs. But every year in our country, we sell about 10 billion bullets. If you divide that number by the number of people in this country, you get 31 bullets for every man, woman, and child.
It's a lot of bullets.
Yeah, that's how, I think that's what struck us. That was a pretty good name for a campaign, because that's a lot of bullets.
So what caused you, so this, the people we had on the other day were from the Brady Center.
Right.
That was their work of art, right?
What's that?
That was their work of art that they displayed.
I believe so. And you know, it's funny. I never saw it. I didn't even know it was coming.
I didn't either. Well, I read about it in your newspaper, but I thought, I told the woman that was involved in the project, I said, you should have kept that here longer. She said, unfortunately, there's other cities that are dealing with this issue, and so on the artwork goes. But
it's really compelling. Sad, because I've never seen someone that symbolized something that symbolized the issue so well as that piece of artwork, how easy it is to get a gun in this country.
Yeah.
It's like a divvy bike.
I know. Although you can imagine, plenty of people texted me right after she was on and said, it's not that easy. It's not that easy in Chicago. It's not that easy in Illinois.
And they're right.
And so that analogy doesn't work. So there's always going to be critics of this. What's been the reception of the 31 Bullets campaign?
You know, it's been really good. It's been remarkably good. I think people like the idea of putting a label on it, being consistent. We've been writing about guns and the need to have saner gun laws for as long as I've been editorial page editor, which is 10 years. And it's always like you write an editorial when this kid gets killed. You write an editorial when six kids are killed over there. And it's just horrendous. And the idea that you could systematically, more of a systematic way, address this issue, at least for the next month or two, it's fantastic. I mean, that's what you get in the business for.
What's the bottom line? What is the message? Is it saner gun laws, or we need to eliminate guns entirely? What are you guys saying?
I'm so glad you asked that, because the biggest criticism of this campaign or any such campaign is from people who try to pretend it's a black and white issue, that you either are anti-guns or you want every gun in the world to be on the street and every six-year-old can have one. And the reality is, every one of these 31 bullets, what these are, by the way, is 31 things that can be done to create saner gun laws.
Think bullet points, almost.
These are bullet points, 31 of them. And every one of them, none of them is a threat to the existence of the Second Amendment. They're all sort of kind of sane things you want to do. Like, for instance, have a lock on a gun when you store it away, so that if your six-year-old's at home and you're not, the kid's not going to take it down and accidentally fire it. Now, I think that's something we can do in this country without violating the Second Amendment.
Did you guys take a position on bump stocks?
Yeah. Our position is that's a bad idea. That's actually a very easy one.
Even the NRA
has taken that one. I mean, they aren't. I mean, if you're a super pro gun person and you're looking for something you can say you're on board with in terms of saner gun laws, you go to bump stocks. That's not too tough.
What do you make of... But in fact, what's the federal position on bump stocks? They're not illegal in the United States, are they?
They're not illegal yet, and I think there was an effort to have legislation to make them illegal. The NRA believes that regulatory means can limit the sale of bump stocks without having to have a law that explicitly prohibits them.
You know, I'm a quote-unquote anti-gun guy, but I think the NRA would be surprised how far down the road I would meet them if they would get on the same road as me. My criticism, and of course we all come at it from our own position, but my criticism is that they're not interested in the gun conversation at all because they're afraid they'll have to give up too much, and I don't think I would be unreasonable about it. I think the Second Amendment has a place. I don't think bump stocks or machine guns do. I'm not a fan of assault-style rifles, and so we'll have to figure that out. But I don't think they're even interested in the conversation with me.
No, they're not. They're not. But the NRA does not speak for everybody in this country, and I don't think it even speaks for the majority of people who believe that guns are a Second Amendment right. So what we're trying to... This is a really important thing. On an editorial page, you don't talk to the extremists, and you look for the people who can meet you in the middle. And a good editorial page doesn't just preach to the choir. I try it with our editorial page to find positions we can bring people over, and you can find that middle ground that you just described. And I think that's what we're trying to do here.
What's happened to the NRA over the years?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they've become more extreme or we just more noticed that. I really don't know. But they're very, very militant about any possible change. You know, the good example is there is an effort now in Illinois to try to have a law that says if somebody in your family seems to be in a emotionally dangerous state, where they could be a danger to themselves, suicide, or a danger to others, family should be able to go to court and ask the judge for a warrant that would allow officials to take guns away from that family member. So maybe you've got a brother who's kind of off on his own and he's getting scarier and scarier. Frankly, the Lori Dan, the killing, was 30 years ago this Sunday.
Yeah, right.
And she had a lot of guns that she should not have had. She had a long, strong history of mental illness. And we had that kind of a law, she might not have been armed. That doesn't strike me as extreme.
Here's a couple of texts. 31 bullets is a lot. That's not even 2 minutes at the range. From 847, I buy 1,000 bullets at a time. We use them at the range. You liberals don't understand guns. 1,000 rounds go quick for fun. From 312, John, the marketing on that art was around the Indiana gun laws, not Illinois. And from 847, we only think you're after all guns because to a man, all anti-gunners get flustered and say, well, why do you need any guns anyways? Just a few of our texts.
Well, you know, if people who want to make the argument that we should have no changes in our gun laws want to quote the most extreme people on the left, they can do that. But I am not one of those people, and neither are you. The truth is the vast majority of people in the Chicago and the suburbs and America want to get incremental change that will keep us safer, keep our children safer, and make us a saner society. They do not want to take away everybody's gun.
Right, but I think the NRA feels, this is just my interpretation of them, that if they even begin to engage in that, they need to be resistant to the conversation itself, because once they engage, now they're having a conversation about limiting gun owners' rights, and they don't want to do that.
Right.
And I know I'm repeating myself, but I think if we had that conversation, they might be surprised how much ground we'd give.
Absolutely.
On the other side.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's anybody. In fact, when we talk about this all the time, about do we support a particular gun law, some change, a reform, and I always say the same thing. Let's make sure people understand that we're not trying to take guns away from the homeowner who has a handgun and they live in a tough neighborhood and they simply need it to feel safe. We get that, right? And we get the Wisconsin hunter who wants to hunt. Even the target people, I don't care, okay? But somewhere beyond that, for instance, an AR-15 semi-assault weapon, I simply don't buy the argument that there's a useful purpose that justifies its sale in this country. And frankly, there is no. I mean, they'll say, well, we like to use it for target shooting or things like that. But I think most reasonable people, maybe not the folks defending AR-15s, would say that the arguments against that kind of a military weapon in our streets are so much stronger than the arguments that I should be able to use an AR-15 so I can have target practice.
You and I were talking off the air, and you told me a story about some kids and what they were saying about this issue. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Okay, tell that story in a minute. It's 219. This is WGN. Tom McNamee is the editorial page editor of the Chicago Sun-Times. You may remember when he did a much-loved radio show on WLS.
Yeah, I reminded you of that, huh?
I said, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, sure you do. It was Hainer and McNamee on. It was Saturday mornings for a while.
So what about what you heard a young person say about this 31 bullets issue?
It wasn't me. Actually, what happened was we're working with the communications advertising agency, Ogilvy and Mather, here in Chicago.
Sure.
And there's a fellow over there named Joe who's involved in this project. We're their client, and they're helping with the artwork and the social media. They're really good. And I asked Joe, why are you so passionate about this project? And he said, it's like this. I have a kid, and he's high school age. And you know, all of these high school kids have been doing these walkouts right after
Parkland.
And his son, he asked his son one day, are you going to do the walkout tomorrow at your school? And his son, no, I don't think so. And he said, why not? He said, because I don't know why I'm walking out. And Joe said, it made a lot of sense. Because especially at that age, it's so easy to just do it sort of an emotional impulse. I grew up in Chicago. I went to Bogan High School on 79th Street, right? Graduated in 1972. And in about 1971, we had a walkout. I don't even remember what it was about, John. And I don't think I knew what it was about even then. It was the thing to do.
Not that you forgot, but you were just a follower.
Yeah, I was just a follower. And when Joe told me the story about his son, it resonated. I said, you know, I think these young people are looking for understanding about what the issues really are.
So that's what the 31 bullets issue is.
And that's why it's done with social media, with these very contained, concise explanations of each stand.
And I don't think this stuff is inflammatory. Like today, the cover rap on the Chicago Sun-Times is about smartly storing and keeping a gun.
Right.
It's not saying don't have guns.
No, not at all. No, I mean, to that particular point, that's the what we're looking for is what they do in Massachusetts. In Massachusetts, if you sell a gun, anybody who sells a gun, a dealer, a guy at a garage sale, you have to sell with that gun a trigger lock, a little lock you put on the gun so it can't be fired unless you have a key or something. And in Massachusetts, by law, if you store your gun, if it's not with you in the same room, you have to have that lock on it so it's up in a closet and you're away for obvious reasons. In Illinois, we have a trigger lock requirement for dealers. If you go to a gun shop and buy a gun, then you sell it, but not for anybody else, not for gun shows like the one they're having.
You don't think that's too invasive? Maybe in my own home, I should be able to keep the gun however I want, wherever I want.
Well, that's, you know what? And this goes back to your point. I kind of would think that maybe I would push for a lock in all those storage cases. But I also get the argument that says,
I want it in the drawer in the other room.
What's the point of a gun if I can't use it when a bad guy comes to the door?
I'm not so sure I love this law.
So maybe this goes back to your point. Maybe this is where you compromise. Maybe you require a trigger lock for every single gun sale, which we do not have in Illinois. But I, on the other side, say, I'll give up on the part that you lock it up when it's in your own home.
But I'll at least mandate that you have access to that. Nobody will be able to say, but I didn't have a lock.
Right.
And the kids got to it. Lots of texts about this. Some of them agree absolutely with what you're saying, and some of them are saying that you should pound sand. So,
yeah, well, so does a lot of my family. But
so I got to go, but does this run 31 days then, too, or what's
31
the time?
Days, we roll out the bullets. Every day you see what you see in front of you, a full page highlighting of one of the 31 bullet points. And each week, at least one good editorial. But frankly, I kind of hope we continue to do this straight through the summer as much as we can.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Chicago needs that message in the summers, typically. Hey, John, why don't we put a big tax on bullets, said somebody. The late, great Senator Paul Simon said we should do that in Illinois. I don't know what the attitude about that is in the legislature, but you got downstaters that probably ain't loving this campaign.
Yeah, actually, where there are taxes on bullets, it seems to be somewhat effective in reducing the use use of guns. I was talking to a guy down in New Orleans who said that's a huge issue, trying to limit the sale of ammunition. The issue is not whether there's a tax on bullets. The issue is whether or not you regulate the sale of bullets the way you regulate the sale of guns. So you have to have an age requirement, and you have to have a FOIA card, the firearms,
right.
Those kinds of deals. And I think that's a reasonable thing.
Tom McNamee, editorial page editor, Chicago Sun-Times. Well, good luck to you guys, and let's keep talking about this.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks a lot, John.
Keep writing about this, Tom.